Ding dong. Hello?
This is The Basics Guide to Women's Wrestling, your best source for women's wrestling commentary and recaps. And this is your Halloween Havoc recap. And I just realized that Halloween is going to land on a Raw day, but we still got two more Raws until then. Anyway, I'm Rasumi Basic Host Liz.
I'm Joseph. Shotzi should show up.
On Raw, just because.
Yeah,
she's the queen of Halloween.
Everyone just goes wherever the hell they want to right now anyways.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I don't think they're doing drafts or whatever.
I think they're going to do a draft, but like until then, it's not going to happen by next Monday.
So then just have Shotzi show up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious now. I wonder if they're going to do like a special show then.
We'll see.
Well, I
won't get to watch it until later.
Oh, because you're going to be out trick-or-treating?
Yeah.
Causing chaos in the neighborhood?
Yeah,
like a regular old Shotzi? You got your tank.
Allegedly knocking over mailboxes.
Well, we'll get to Halloween Havoc in a little bit, but just kind of wanted to recap the main roster shows, I guess. But yeah, a whole lot of damage control.
Yeah, for good reason.
They're the ones that are basically carrying this women's division right now, and not in a bad way.
They're the best ones in it.
Yeah.
It's the same way Bayley carried the company throughout the pandemic.
True facts. Those are facts. And so she wasn't even in a match this week, but she is going to have a rematch against Bianca coming Raw.
If they're going to do this rematch, she needs to win.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, I don't think that they should have done this rematch because I don't want anyone to beat Bianca until next WrestleMania. But if you're going to do this rematch, she's going to win. Which, like, side note there, the only time I've ever agreed with Ric Flair ever in the history of ever is that Charlotte Flair and Bianca could be as big as The Rock and Stone Cold if built correctly. Which Triple H could do.
Yeah, I could see that. But I was going to say too, with what they're doing with Bianca anyway, you might as well just give the belt to Bayley, because this week we had Bianca in a tag match with Candace. Like, why? We don't. Come on. There's other women on the roster, and you can just have your champ sitting upon her throne, and that's not what's happening.
Or her wrestling somebody. Like, she's a...
Or building a feud with someone else, but it's leading to Bayley.
Yeah, she's a fighting champ, so she's gonna, like, wrestle other people, but instead of having her wrestle with Candace, have her wrestle Candace. She hasn't done that since she's been back. Or where's Piper? Or Nikki Cross is still, like, left 4 weeks ago with her head in her hands. What's happening with that storyline right
now? Yeah, they haven't really wrapped up anything.
Like, obviously, we're going to get back to it because Triple H does that. But, like, yeah, we had to have that circle jerk 2 weeks ago, like, where we haven't had anything happening. And then this week was... I didn't watch it, so I can't say...
Well, I mean, yeah, Damage Control was the only...
We could have had something else.
Well...
Because we already knew we were getting that tag match later, and then I heard this, I think it was in the middle of the show, or in before the show announced. And I was like, well, why are they doing another tag match if they're just doing one on Friday?
I think they just need to... They just need to, like, suck it up and call back Eva Marie. This is what... No, but really, they should actually bring back Lana.
Yeah, you've been on Lana all week.
Well, yeah, Lana's great. And I just read that interview that she did talking about how she wants to come back to wrestling or whatever when she's, like, able to not half-ass it, because Dennis Rodman told her not to half-ass things, because right now she's promoting The Surreal Life, because she's going to be on the next season. And then I was also talking about how a lot of these women just need to watch Lana tapes if they really want to develop their character, because she's, like, really good about it. And then I've also been listening to a bunch of Pitch Perfect. She's in the beginning of the first one.
Dennis Rodman's also friends with a dictator.
He's going to solve the North Korean crisis.
All right. And then we can believe that Lana's in the right place. But until then, I don't know.
The storylines are pretty much just centered right now around Damage Control, Bianca, and then newcomer Candice LeRae. But that match was pretty good. Just the finish of it. So I didn't get a chance to really pay attention to what Bayley was saying on commentary, because she sat there this week. The match between Candice and Bianca versus Damage Control. the finish was really cool because they basically just like, oh, I don't know what that, is it a sidewalk slam that Io's doing?
I don't know what it's called. It's Ciampa's finisher.
Oh, I don't know the name of it, but basically she like
fairy tales ending, but that's not what it's called. It's
okay, so
like
she
body drop.
Yeah, so she picks him up, she puts him off to her side, and she slams him on the ground. But yeah, so Candace is all like delirious, and then Dakota and Io do this weird, like swinging thing on Candace. Like, I think she sold it pretty well by how out of it she looked, because that move just like was the finisher.
Yeah, I don't know what you would call that, like a pump handle. Not an electric chair, because nobody came off the top rope, but...
Yeah, so like Candace was on her stomach and they lifted her up in the air and it looked like they were going to slam her back on her face.
Back body drop, maybe.
But they
yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was the only thing that I saw. I didn't really get to watch the match, but it would have hit home more. Something that I'll talk about later when we talk about SmackDown, I guess.
Right.
But, or would have if I had gotten to see this match. I need to go back and watch it again. I'm just glad that Candace is here. And, like, the replacement level for the women on this show is ridiculous.
Well, I wanted to talk about SmackDown, too. Because, again, Damage Control was there. And they had their match against Raquel and Shotzi. Cool was Shotzi in the big tank with the pyro shooter, whatever thing it is. But one of the things I noticed,
Raquel did not look comfortable on that tank.
She's like, she's trying to make herself like look more, or not look more, but she's trying to like limber herself up so she can ride that tank comfortably. But she was like hanging on, hanging off to the side
the whole time. She should have just walked out behind her.
It's not like the tank goes very fast.
Right.
But anyway, one thing I noticed during this match is how Bailey was a little less hands-on. I mean, as far as like, I think now that Io and Dakota have just like been around, they're a little bit more established, and like the crowd, like now the crowd can just like be into them. They don't need Bailey like hyping them up or booing and starting fights with the crowd, like apparently she does on house shows. Yeah, we talked about it, right?
Yeah,
where she like fought with that little boy in the audience.
I never saw the clip.
Oh, it's great. But yeah, so same thing in this match where Io did that cool move sidewalk, or I don't know, I keep calling it that cool side drop on Shotzi.
Yeah. And then they ended up finishing it from there too, because that's her new finisher, I guess, that into a moonsault.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't have any qualms about it. It just, what I was saying earlier, like it really hit home with me at some point in the middle of this match. I think when like Shanti went to tag Raquel or something, or vice versa, that I was like, god damn, like all these women are here now.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the champion sucks ass and we can like wait for count down the days until her contract's over, but eventually like
it will be done.
It's just gonna be all these great women that we've been watching NXT forever, and they're gonna like we've seen what they could do, just what they did on NXT. They were outshining the dudes there too. It was like special talents that I would want to see over the women there, like Adam Cole, Ciampa, like nobody other than those people, maybe Gargano over these women. And it's gonna be the same thing once they're like I said, once their replacement level is Raquel, like if she's the worst person on your roster, that's insane. And I can't wait for it. It's only going to be like, I'd say the next 6 months where people are going to start coming up. And yeah, I'm just excited. Like, it just made me excited for the future. And it would have hit harder if I had seen Candace there on Monday too. But
yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Match.
Yeah. That's true. I really think they need to just let Shotzi loose, like singles run. She's too good. She's too over. She doesn't need to be in a tag team with Raquel.
Yeah, but she's got to have like single stories first. You can't, especially to get the babyface pop of hers, like you got to build it up.
She's already the babyface.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That's why, like, because people will cheer for her anyways, like, it can be that kind of long payoff where, like, it took forever for Hardy to get a title, or it took forever for, like, Liv, for instance. But in this case, like, it'll be like good Liv.
I was going to say, so like, we're talking about all these amazing women coming up from NXT, and it's just like amazing. Like, it's cool. It's cool that they're finally all here. We didn't think that we'd see this.
Yeah, because it would have been Vince at the helm if it was 6 months ago, which nobody foresaw that guy leaving. And it's all the better for it.
I guess it's not a good time to bring up Liv versus Sonya for some reason. I'm just not into this. And I think somebody online made a good point of that. She's been in create a wrestler mode forever.
Yeah.
Like, she had the whole weird, as soon as Charlotte told her, who are you? I still haven't been able to figure it out. And I don't think Liv has figured it out either. She had that weird, like, I'm going to have like a makeover, and then still came back in her Riot gear. And then she had a love story with Lana, which thank goodness for Lana, like being such a good sport there, right? And then she maybe might be Harley Quinn. I don't know.
But then she had like her babyface run against Becky Lynch, which like didn't amount to anything because she got 6 championship matches and nothing ever happened from it. She put on one good match out of like the 6 and...
Ugh. And so we're basically just still in that. And now we're adding Sonya to the mix because, okay... Other than Sonya making like a mean comment about Liv, what else is the reason for her to be there?
Right, because she's on NXT now, apparently, because Mandy's her friend again. I mean, as down as I am on both of them, I didn't hate this. Like, I thought it was fine for both of them.
I mean, it was a good match because I think they were both like evenly.
Right. Liv wasn't out of her element. Like, nobody was weighed down to her level. And this is the kind of like level where she needs to be at. Not throwing her in with Becky Lynch and not throwing her in the deep end, because obviously it doesn't work. With some people it does. It hasn't with her because it hasn't, like, she hasn't gotten any better.
Make the mid-card belt a thing.
Right. But
just take the tag team championships from NXT and
turn them into 2 mid-card belts, 1 for each show.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to say, like, Lord of the Rings that, like, melt it into like, one big mid-belt.
Well, you could do it into 2 mid-card belts. 3-1 for each show. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't hate this. It wasn't as bad as some other stuff that I've seen with either of them.
Oh, and I think the match was really great to watch. Liv
finally got across like what she's been trying to get across for the last 3 weeks, including Extreme Rules, where like she's trying to become the new Jeff Hardy.
I didn't get that at all. So I think I just really tune out is what happens.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean,
because Jeff Hardy, she is not though.
To Ronda Rousey, who was like, no. I will be the worst women's wrestler on the planet. And here's this worst promo you've ever seen since the last worst promo of mine that you've ever seen.
Which was just last week.
Jesus. 1 week you lose the ranking and just nope, claws her right back out of Liv's clutches and just stomps her for good measure. I will be the worst woman on the planet. Worst woman on the planet because God. I have no interest in Ronda. I especially have no interest in Ronda if she's going to try and be this, like, against the people champion. Because you were so bad last time, you had to say that this was fake.
So, maybe, because they really didn't go full heel with Ronda before she left. So, maybe she's just, like, picking up on it. Like, well, this kind of was going in this direction the last time. So, why not pick up with it? Instead of, I don't know. Maybe teaming up with Shayna?
Because nobody cares about it. And she's going to weigh Shayna down with it because Shayna is going to go along with her. And
is she, though?
She's going to be getting this atomic heat when she can be getting real heat for the beatings that she can lay on people as opposed to, like, the uncharismatic enigma that is Ronda Rousey.
Oh, but I don't think I see even like any indication that that's going to happen.
I mean, they have had like, a couple teaming things. Them. They have shown a few things in the backstage where they're going to do it. So Triple H doesn't do stuff like that just to not pull the trigger on it. So even if they're going to be tag team for like a month, it's going to happen at some point.
And neither of them are very good at like promos. Really. I'm
gonna be so bring happy back when Lana.
Make her what do they call it? The make Lana the baddest like, manager.
All these people are gonna be all like, Charlotte's back, and like as Charlotte's biggest fan, I'm gonna fucking love it. Lap up tears of actually, Charlotte haters.
At this point, why not just have Rhonda, Natty, and Shayna just be in one big old faction? Add Sonya in there for good measure, and there you have a rival faction to damage control.
I mean, maybe then she can actually get responses as opposed to just when she almost cried because they were cheering for Becky over her on Raw. I was supposed to be the main attraction. I fought in the UFC.
What's UFC?
He's just like, bunk. And the crowd loses their mind like when Bart says the thing.
I didn't do it. Is that it? Anyway, yeah. So main roster shows, which kind of leads into the NXT shows because you get appearances from Raquel and freaking Rhea Ripley, who hasn't been wrestling and she hasn't needed to.
She's just been in house shows.
But she hasn't been needing to as a part of Judgment Day. But she went and did it anyway. And it was an amazing match between her and Roxanne, but she still murdered Roxanne at the end of it.
Honestly, she looked a little rusty in the beginning there because maybe it's because Roxanne's so fluid and like they were maybe trying to find their groove there. And they did.
They found it.
That was the best match of the week by far. But like getting into that match when I was watching it, because I had to watch it back like a day or two later, I was like, oh, Rhea's kind of rusty for not being in here for a while. But damn, they were so good. And the way they did the David versus Goliath match, and like Roxy was able to get believable shots, and she was still in there, right? Until shit-ass Dom jumped up on the ropes and distracted her, and then Rhea was just like, no, you're dead now.
See, and this is like the more believable, like, David versus Goliath sort of matchup because of, you know, like you're saying, how fluid Roxanne is. She is able to like kind of, she moves around Rhea the way you're supposed to when you're like 2 feet height difference.
Yeah.
That's an exaggeration, obviously, but you know.
Nobody's been this good, this young, this raw since Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
Like that's insane.
Just like to reiterate, Roxanne is how old? 20 years old?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. But she's super young, and she's been doing this forever, just the same way Ray was. So think about it, 30 years down the road, when we're celebrating the 30-year anniversary of Roxanne and Raw, like, it'll be so cool. I do gotta say, though, Booker gotta go. I hate him on commentary. And I really hope it's just a temporary thing, and eventually Wade Barrett goes back, and eventually
my favorite football player of all time, Pat McAfee.
The only good commentator right now comes back and saves us from this Booker T on NXT. Because, man, I thought NXT couldn't get any worse.
I don't think he knows what was going on.
It was just real bad. But, I mean, like, he trained her and she came out of his school. And
he should have, like, called that match better.
But, yeah, he's just not good. Especially for that show.
Oh, he doesn't have it. So, yeah, this was part of the pick your poison. Cora picked Rhea to wrestle against Roxanne, and Roxanne picked Raquel to wrestle Cora Jade. And that one ended a little bit early.
Yeah, I mean, going into it with the two of them, I wasn't expecting a barn burner either. But it was fine. Like, it was fine going into Saturday, and especially the way that they were trying to build up that show.
Right.
I mean, you can call it like being tribalistic or whatever, but I really think they were trying to show what they could do up against AEW, knowing that it was going to be rescheduled into that for probably at least 2 weeks.
Oh, you're talking about this NXT show.
Yeah, and they brought out everybody that they could. KO, Shinsuke returning.
Yeah, he returned on NXT.
Every segment had somebody from the main roster almost.
Them announcing Shotzi as the Halloween Havoc
every
host.
Every segment had somebody from the main roster, and like, I mean, they put on great matches too, except for the middle part, that whole Shotzi thing. Like, I was not a fan of the later part of that segment, even though the announcement was great. But So I get why you kind of pull out of there too, especially because we also got Alba and Sonya.
Yeah.
If they didn't have that, then I would have been annoyed by the short match of the Pick Your Poison.
Plus, again, yeah. Like you're saying, it also just is a little bit better storytelling going into Halloween Havoc, right? Yeah. And it just being like a little bit different than, you know, your earlier match with Rhea and stuff. So, yeah, I basically, Raquel beat the crap out of Corey with a kendo stick.
Well, she hit her, and then Roxanne came out to beat the crap out of her, and then she still missed
her. She, like,
her
rolled away. Yeah. Okay, so we can't delay it anymore. We have to talk about Halloween Havoc.
I mean, AEW had some stuff.
Oh,
including
no.
Some controversy.
Controversy? With Nyla?
No.
Oh, because that's the only thing that I caught, and it was amazing.
It's the best storyline.
It's the best thing I saw this week.
In AEW right now is Nyla Rose.
Just to recap, Nyla stole Jade Cargill's belt.
I love a good stolen belt story.
Yeah, so Jade was in the middle of the ring. Why was she in the middle of the ring?
Yeah, she came to interrupt Willow's ceremony.
Oh, which is cool, because Willow signed now. Yes. Awesome.
Finally. Anyway, and said that she wasn't going to leave until Nyla Rose came out with her belt or something.
And that's when that clip,
Rose came out in the backstage and was like, hey, I got your car. So, and that, like, she tweeted, she followed it up with a tweet later that was like, you guys really want a champion that won't follow through with her word? She was like, I got you to leave that ring real quick. Or something like that. It's so good.
She made a liar out of Jade.
AEW right now.
Yeah, so, the fact that Nyla was singing my favorite, one of my favorite songs.
Such
like
a coincidence.
What a coincidence. But yeah, she's, they had a little segment basically where, or the video clip was of Nyla, or was it Marina Shafir hanging out with him too?
Yeah. The three of them.
It's, what are they called? Vicious Vixens? Yes. So Marina's just like, hey, Jade. And then Nyla just starts singing. And she's like, what's going on? That's right. I stole the, or I like took your car too. Like, we're going to, like, she's like, I found it at the valet. And I don't know what she told her, but as they drove away, you just hear Vicky like, ah, freaking Wicked Witch style.
Yeah.
That's like the most like shook we've seen Jade too.
Yeah.
So and like this is going like, really well.
Cool. And Jade's doing it really well too.
Yeah, because like this is how you maybe start to turn her. I don't know.
They had a segment too with her, but I didn't watch Rampage. I still need to catch up on that. So
see, like they sleep on Nyla so much now. Like right out the gate when they had her as like their champion, right? It didn't work so well because I don't know.
She had a bunch of shit going on too. Like it was the first time she was really out in front of a live audience.
Like
a big audience. And so you have all these like fuck asses harassing her basically. Yeah. And like, yeah.
It just did not
help. So there
was
a whole bunch of shit. And like, I mean, she had a good run. She could have other good runs too. My annoyance with her to this point was not her, but the way she was used. And that's because Tony Khan doesn't give a shit about women's booking. So he's like, we got a new champion. I guess we'll take them back down to the Mortal Kombat, like, first opponent that you fight.
Bro.
And that's Nyla Rose, because the first three champions all fought Nyla Rose as their first opponent. And, like, of course she lost to all of them. And that doesn't, make her look like anything.
No. Like, anyway. Anyway, it's great to see.
Yeah.
Like her, where she's like, she's so freaking funny.
Yeah.
Like,
even if she's not a champion, she needs to be involved in storyline.
She just needs to be around.
Like,
AEW
does not have the people that are good enough on promos, including their current champion, that to be not utilizing Nyla's talents. There.
Well, the thing is with Nyla is she's so creative. Like, she just gets it. So she's not going to. You know, she's not going to bury her opponents the way some other people do. Because she, I don't know, you can just tell that she loves this shit. And she's going to do, like, she's going to put out good product. And that's what I've noticed, like, since she started, like, just, like, her progression in the company and just, like, her character in general.
Yeah.
It's just,
and
like.
I mean, she always seems good in that, like. Good and willing to take a back seat to everybody.
Yeah.
And be used whenever she's used. And she always, like, turns out whenever she's used.
And that's why you should just use her all the time, because she knows where to give and take. So anyway, all hail Nyla.
The controversy was Toni Storm taking shots at an injured Thunder Rosa, saying how she's the real champion and like whatever this interim business, which is like, okay, that's fine. A lot of people don't like the interim business, and most people go online and bitch about it, but you're actually the person in the company. Like, you can't be lowering yourself to this kind of like internet fodder bullshit.
Yeah.
And she's hurt. Like, even if you're doing this in character to build up a storyline, like, she's not even going to be around until January.
But Tony's like alluding to, oh, she's probably not even hurt.
Right. Like, and so, like, if you're doing this as a character storyline thing, like, why now, 3 months out, just burying her for no reason when she can't do anything about it? And I mean, I guess that's the way that Britt Baker, who was the face of this division, showed that the way the division works. Like, you can't get anybody, you can't get anywhere without burying people in AEW, right? Like, that's how it works. You just bury the rest of the division behind you. Toni Storm was supposed to be so much better. And, like, she has been in the ring, and she's been featured, and they're actually, like, going everywhere where they need to be with her. So that's why this petty bullshit is just completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
And I hope she learns from the fact that it got blown up the way that it did, to where she doesn't start, like, you need to watch yourself. You're a champion. You can't just go, like, feeding the trolls this way, because it's going to get turned into this shit. And you should have known that by now, because you were literally in WWE. You went through your whole bullshit when you left and went through AEW. Like, you know that stuff gets misconstrued this way and turns into controversies.
And on top of that, like, because this is part of the women's division, like, just the fact that it's women involved, it's not going to be looked at the same as, like, when MJF is pulling shit like that.
Right.
And it's this women and come
and
on.
It's this women's division.
It's
I know
AEW's.
You guys like to pretend that like you guys are taken seriously outside of your company, but you're not. Like, you guys are all really good, and when you guys get stuff, you do, but you don't ever get stuff, and that's on your fucking management and your ownership. And it's not against any of like the women on the roster. That's fine. They've done everything that they can do.
Right.
But don't act like you guys are treated like a main roster show here. And like, I was thinking about it today too, because they announced on Wednesday, and then like the Twitter account followed up with it, and everything else is following up with it. Like, the main event for Full Gear is sealed a month out, because like, of course it is, because of course it's going to be the dudes, because the women are only going to get to main event what, one Dynamite a year?
Yeah. Or
which
maybe every other month.
Really, like, again, what we come back to, why are you guys doing the same bullshit tropes that WWE did when they started off? Like, you don't have to. You could just kickstart right from the beginning and feature your women as much as you can. And you can build stars. And look what happens when you do it with Toni Storm. Everybody wants to see Toni Storm. This is the first week coming up that Toni Storm's not going to be on the card, and people are already pissed off. Or not pissed off, but they're like, okay, she's going to get involved in this because she's going to be here.
Right.
Like, people are excited for her. And look what happens when you build women and you give them time every single week like you have with Toni Storm. I mean, I really wish it was Thunder Rosa, because I think Thunder Rosa is twice the wrestler.
Oh, I think she just got the short end,
right,
for sure.
I think Thunder Rosa is twice the wrestler that Toni Storm is. And like, my conspiracy theories about Tony Khan hating Mexicans aside, if you're going to start leading and giving the women this stuff, like, cool, let's keep the petty bullshit that you guys did before burying the division and actually start building it up all together as one.
Consistency is key. And we've seen like an example of this. And it's like AEW caters to the internet crowd. It's like, you don't have to do that. You could just tell them, because they're already on your side. They're already eating out of the palm of your hand. So you just have to feed them what you want them to eat.
I'm still going to watch AEW for the most part. I tune out on like a lot of the segments that I don't like, but I like that there's an alternative to WWE.
Yeah.
And I like that a lot of them are super talented. I can't wait for the Elite and Kenny to come back. Like, I'm going to watch your product. I just want more out of it.
You can do the same thing with your women.
Right, you don't even really like watching AEW because of that. You would watch it so much more if they featured them more.
Oh,
and had
definitely.
Half and half booking.
Yeah,
it's not for you. Sorry to like talk over you again, but like, it's not for you not liking their roster, because you love half of their roster at the least.
They just don't know how to utilize them, and any good clip or any good segment, the full thing is available online, and that's all I'm going to do is just like watch Nyla Rose clips. And that's not a good, I just don't think that is a good business model for your women's division. So anyway, damage control all the way. And everyone should listen to, like, go listen to Lana promos because, or the way she produced, oh, yeah, what's going on with, I don't know what's going on with Miro in AEW, but the way she produced her husband is, like, what got over every single time. It's all her. So Halloween Havoc. I'm done with AEW. We can move on. So Halloween Havoc.
Speaking about being done.
Okay, we can just.
Raquel and Cora put on a really good match. And I, like, if not for
Roxanne and Cora.
I'm so blinded by rage. Roxanne and Cora put on such a good match. And, like, for it to not be evolved with the title at all, like, just a side storyline, it's so cool. Like, it's what women's wrestling needs. And it's what even most of these, like, women at this point, including Ronda Rousey, have been saying at this
point. We just need, like, a good blood feud, and that's what this is.
We just, yeah, we need good storylines and good, like, good women. Well, who I was going to say,
like, even though I wasn't buying into the whole, like, me and Cora have been best friends forever because, like, Roxanne's only been here, like, a month and a half. Or, well, I guess not that short, but still, it was all very, like, sudden.
Well, she was
here
a month and a half before she, like,
they became tag champs.
They've been rivals longer than they were friends for at this
point. Yeah, exactly.
And
so,
yeah, I mean, that goes on to Shawn Michaels' like, terrible booking, but they delivered in the match.
Yeah, and I was going to say, fine, I'll believe it. I'll buy into the us thinking, like, yes, they've been lifelong friends, even though they're, like, only 20 years old.
Right.
If
lifelong friends Mandy and Sonya can go to get over Sonya trying to scalp her in the backstage, then surely friendship can not overcome the 2 weeks of whatever. Anyway.
Yeah, it was a really fun match. What was even the stipulation? It's just like an anything goes type of match.
Weapons Wild or some shit.
Oh,
like
yeah. Okay. But it ended with both of them going through, or not ended, but the climax was both of them going through the table.
Yeah, which was like a weird spot the way that it turned out because, like, it looked like Cora pulled her in to do it, but then they had to show the replay like 3 times to show that, like, Roxanne actually grabbed her and threw her because she didn't really slam her. She just, like, grabbed her and then they fell backwards.
Because
they
were basically on the ledge.
Right.
And so when Roxanne went to, like, because that's the other thing. Cora was hanging on to the rail and she's like, don't do it. Like, please, I'm sorry. Like, just don't push me off of here. Yeah. And Roxanne was, like, holding back her fist, like, can I do it? And, like, as she's going in is when, like, Cora grabbed her too. So they both just fell.
Like, I don't know that it was supposed to be Cora actually grabbing her because it looked like when on the replay Roxanne is the one who grabs her around her and, like,
oh, and as they're, like, falling, they had to protect each other.
I don't know. And that's why, like, I didn't really like the execution of the way that that worked. They've done that spot way better out of that tower before with other people.
Well, I don't care because I'm just going to pretend that they just lost their balance because that is also very, very plausible.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it was good. And
how did it even end? Because they ended up in the ring and Roxanne won. But
yeah, she was like, oh, I was never your friend or some shit like that. And then Roxanne did the little flip on her and pinned her in the chairs, which doesn't really count because her shoulders weren't flat against the mat, but whatever, we'll take
it. Hold on. You mentioning the chairs reminded me of a stupid Liv.
Treasure hunt for chairs.
That took way too long for her to find the four chairs.
Out of their own chairs.
The ring person, the ring announcer lady was just like, this is my chair.
See, and that's like the shit. Like, you really think Shawn Michaels would have been like, fuck, I gotta find chairs. Kept looking around, like, distracted. I gotta find chairs. No, he would have looked elsewhere there and, like, all right, I guess we're going through a ladder. Sorry about it, Sonya. Audible. If you get another bruise, I'll buy you a fucking beer later today. Like, that's what the people who make a difference.
So just backtrack really quick. Liv and Sonya, like, Liv was basically just gonna, like, brutalize Sonya some more. Went under the ring, under the little apron to look, and she pulled out chairs.
And they do, so, like, they do the spot where they'll grab chairs and they'll toss them into the ring. Grab a chair and toss it, and grab a chair and toss it. We're like six chairs, so it's actually impressive.
But this one was there was only like two chairs, there was no more. And then she still kept looking, and then she went back to like the area where the ring lady was, and she found a chair. But it's like,
and the bell keeper and like.
But the thing is, like, come on, Liv. Like, you yell at that person, get off of that chair.
If you're gonna do that,
yeah, like, come on.
Or like, yeah, you.
But like, you just saw her like, which way did the chair go?
It reminded me of the thing where I think it was Alexa a few weeks back, where like they were wrestling Dakota and Io, and she like just grabbed her and she like looked left and right and then just tossed her out the ropes because she couldn't think of anything else to do, which I get it, like I'm sure it's hard, but and the creativity is hard, but oh man, it was just so funny.
I guess not everyone can be a natural like Bailey.
Right, when people short circuit like that is just so funny to me.
Anyway, back to Halloween Havoc.
Do we have to?
Yeah, sorry. Mostly because what the hell?
Shawn Michaels sucks, and here's why. Because that was amazing up until the booking.
Okay, so we get this, because they didn't give a stipulation to this match between Alba and Mandy beforehand, right? It was just them fighting for the championship at Halloween Havoc. The thing is, obviously, Toxic Attraction gets in the way, so Alba was going to, like, put a stop to that. She invites Mandy out into the middle of nowhere to, like, her big old haunted house. And this is where we get the cool cinematic match.
Have we had a women's cinematic match?
We have not had one yet. And it made sense to have this one because we all know that Mandy can't go that long. So this was the perfect type of match to have for Alba and Mandy.
And then
you had like Alba beating the crap out of Toxic Attraction. You got like character work from them. You got in the Chucky
promo.
Got them
all involved. Like, you got the promo.
This was so good. And then Alba is able to like leave a crawling JC in a field or whatever in the middle of nowhere as she takes Mandy back to the performance center.
In their own car.
In their own car.
The single car that they took there.
And she drove it all the way back to the performance center. Alba and Mandy forever in the car.
And knocked her out again halfway through. Even that little segment was like a great thing because you have in this one pay-per-view a running storyline that is happening. And like you completely dispatched
Toxic Attraction.
Like you got them out of the way.
Because that's what you needed to do.
Maybe Mandy can be distraught even though we've done this same shit six fucking times. And even every time that we've taken out Toxic Attraction, she still walks out like she's completely unaffected. This time she's actually dragged to the ring or whatever happened to her, like, she got her into the ring. She chased to the ring or whatever, the way it like rolled
out. Alba dragged her in there, threw her in, got the ref to start the match.
Right.
Mandy's still a little disoriented, but then she like gets her wits about her. And now we got a proper match, but now it's a fair fight.
And then we actually get a match.
Yeah.
Like, anybody could have done this at any point with the cinematic match to here. I think we might have seen it the opposite way with Randy Orton and
Bray.
And then, like, they ended it in a cinematic match.
Yes.
But they show up to finish off the match, and it was...
That's so cool!
As good a match as Mandy Rose is ever going to put on. And then you just fucking end it like that, like, because you guys have this obsession from the Ruthless Aggression era that long title reigns are the only thing that matter.
Yeah.
And they're not when everything is stacked up against that person to lose, and that person has so clearly been ready for the next level that it's not even funny. And everybody can see it other than Shawn Michaels, apparently.
Yeah, and like,
or he's afraid to let his golden goose go.
If you weren't going to have Alba get this title, don't have this type of match.
Right.
Just have your normal, regular, like, kendo stick match where Mandy just embarrasses Alba Ray or Alba Fire. And Toxic Attraction is also going in on her with like pickaxes or something. Like, if you're not gonna follow through with just taking the title off of Mandy, you don't get to have this whole buildup because it doesn't make any sense. Toxic Attraction didn't, there's no way they walked, hitchhiked, took a bus to get there in time to do this. And I'm not gonna like suspend my disbelief here because like, I already did that with Cora and Roxanne's friendship. There's no way that this made any sense. You shouldn't have had this whole cinematic match in the first place.
Like, it could have been perfect. She could have hit her with that knee, and Kaylee Ray's arm was right there.
Right under the
rope.
And
she could have grabbed it, and you swerve us in thinking that Mandy is going to once again walk away with this title, and then she just doesn't at the end of it. And the pop that would have happened would have been so good if you had been any other place than that stupid PC center that makes you think that every one of your people are gold. Because you go on Twitter, or you go on, like, any sort of message board, or any, like, anywhere where there's real fans who are watching, and they're baffled by these decisions that you're doing at NXT.
Well, now when it comes to Mandy, and I think we've already established earlier that we have very different timelines, because I do not see the Mandy hate at all. I only see Mandy praise, and I don't get it. I see more Mandy praise than I do Liv praise. So that I believe the bots for Liv. I can't say the same for Mandy. You're like, people are behind her.
She is bad, and I am so... I've been more over this reign than I have Roman Reigns, and I've had much longer for Roman Reigns' reign. If I could choose to end one of them right now, it would be Mandy's. Of course, nothing will end Mandy's reign.
Just have Alba move up to damage control right at this point. Like, it makes more sense. Roxanne will be the one to finally end Mandy's reign in like 3-4 months. But oh my gosh, what a boner killer.
Disappointment. And like, I shit on NXT so much because it has such bad decisions. And that's the thing, is like, the it sucks that one show of like NXT, the main roster, and AEW always seems to have like the ship baton at some point, but one of them always has to suck. And NXT was trending to the point, it's starting to trend to the point where it doesn't have to suck. And that show on Saturday would have not sucked if not for that finish.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank goodness for...
I mean, that show was fine, but it could have been a good show.
I was gonna
it
say,
could have been
like,
the first good NXT show since Black and Gold died.
The main event was like what salvaged, I think, that whole special.
The opening match was the best. I don't care what anybody says.
Great.
The opening match was the best.
Everything
match
in
NXT's
the middle
had,
was great.
That NXT has
it was
had
like,
since
it
Black
was
and
almost
per,
like it was almost really solid, and then you just had that like yeah, total edging. Yeah. Well, on that note, we're out of stuff right now, so. It's just going to have to end on this sour note. And I don't know. I guess.
Bayley's going to win.
I hope so. I don't understand, like, again, this whole buildup, the way that, like, this story has just been playing out, it only makes sense for them to just seize control.
See, it didn't if she only had one shot. But right. You can't keep giving her shot after shot and then just have her not or come up short and expect her to still be considered a threat.
You can't Alba fire her.
Right. Or you can't everybody in NXT for the last year her. Like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh,
you can't Miko her.
You have to, like, come through with it. And that's why I'm not necessarily excited about the second shot, because I want Bianca to keep that belt until WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah, but...
like, I'm talking about long reigns and not liking them, but there's nobody on Bianca's level. Like, that's the difference. There's a difference between Bianca and, like, Roman Reigns. Roman, there's so many people who are as good or, like, better than him in the company.
Yeah.
And there's nobody on Bianca's level when it comes to, like, all-aroundness. But now that you're giving Bayley a second shot, she has to win.
She,
like,
has to,
she
but
has to.
Also,
you have to give it to her.
Also,
too,
because of how, like, story heavy damage control is, that's the only way to finish this out. It doesn't, like, it can't just end with Bayley losing unless she loses and then damage, or, and yeah, like, Io and Dakota are just like, well, we're done with you. So.
Which would be too soon after, like, the Judgment Day thing, I think. But
Judgment Day is still intact. So, yeah. But that's not, like, unless there's, like, something we're just kind of missing, Bayley's story is not even at that point where it's like, okay, time to move on from this.
I mean, Alba could show up tomorrow and win her the match, and then that's why Saturday turned out the way that it did. But, like, whatever. Short of that, I don't understand the booking on Saturday.
I guess, like, if Bianca retains, where do you go with her from there? And I think like, with Bianca being in these, like, random tag matches and not really being booked like Charlotte the champion,
is where you go with
Charlotte,
her.
I guess, if she retains.
Yeah.
But I can't see Charlotte coming back to Raw.
How is the main show? Just send damage control over to
SmackDown. I see Charlotte on SmackDown. And also, I think that's the last place she was at anyway. But I see her going to SmackDown only because of Ronda Rousey.
But Charlotte, yeah.
So,
well, honestly, I don't know, because if we were to put money on WrestleMania matches for next year, I'm saying Charlotte versus Bianca, Becky versus Ronda.
Yeah.
So Becky could show back up on SmackDown, and Charlotte could show up on Raw to beat or to feud with Bianca, but it might be too soon because it's October. WrestleMania would be April.
And this wouldn't involve Bianca in WrestleMania if you get Rhea in that picture next. Because then you get Rhea and Charlotte part deux, because the last time they faced each other at WrestleMania, they were in an empty arena.
Yeah, but I don't... Rhea's got to have her own... She's got to be on her own for a while before walking into, like,
I don't think so.
Main event, and winning.
She can just show up with Judgment Day, and they're like, "We're just, yeah, like I'm claiming my opportunity."
See, I just really don't like the Judgment Day thing.
Yeah, I know,
like,
you don't
Dawn
really like them, but
takes it down so far, and, like, I know that they got heat, but, like, it's such a waste of Finn to me, and it's such a waste of Rhea to me, and that,
I don't think
that's
so.
Really what the annoyance is that we're not even gonna get a payoff on this Rhea Beth thing forever.
That is not Judgment Day's fault. That is Beth and Edge's fault for, like, having projects outside of WWE. But I like the Judgment Day. I like them together. They're so annoying. And, like, they're just, like, real chaos. And if you have that bleed over into the women's division in Rhea, it's like, oh, it's... Yeah, it's just like another good angle for them.
See, that's the thing is, like, I don't even find them to be annoying or chaos like that. Like, they just don't.
They broke up Dominic. They broke up a family.
Yeah.
They broke up Dominic and Ray.
And then what have they done since? Just fought the Bullet Club?
Do you know how hard it is to break up a bloodline? You're a hater on Judgment Day. I am not, and this is where we differ. But
such a waste.
Anyway, many possibilities.
Two generational talents.
It's many possibilities between Bianca and Bayley. So if you get a Bayley win, you're just gonna see them terrorizing all brands. You get the Bianca win, we get to see a new opponent emerge. So, I don't know. It's a win-win either way for us. And for y'all, go watch some more women's wrestling.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please give us a 5-star rating, leave a review, subscribe or follow, and share with your friends who love wrestling. Also, you can click on the link in the description to leave us a voice message, but not like any creepy ones. Okay, fine. A little creepy, but tone it down.